are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my ace, my best friend, my guy, Dane. How are you doing, brother?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Everything going okay in Dallas land?
Yeah, man. Everything is pretty decent in the Big D, Poss. Nothing new, really. Just hanging.
It must be going pretty well because our listeners, you know, you can't see us right now, but Dane, I've never seen Dane rep a Cowboys jersey. and if he did, it's been years ago, maybe back in our high school days. But Dane is repping. Is it a Dez Bryant? Is it CeeDee Lamb? Who you got over there, bro?
This is a Sadarian Lamb on a jersey.
he's repping the Lamb nice.
This is Kevin White. Milt, darling. Nah. This is the 88 is so iconic. As you all know, the one Drew Pearson started it all. Passed the
Hall
torch
of Famer,
on to.
Hall of Famer now.
Hall of Famer, Drew Pearson. My bad. My apologies. Mm. Passed on the torch to D. Michael Irvin. And of course, D. Michael Irvin passed the torch on, short-lived, of course, to Dez Bryant, who then was passed it on to CeeDee Lamb. So I have this jersey on for one particular reason. By the time the folks get to listening to this, it will be game day. It absolutely means nothing wearing it because nobody believes in juju and stuff like that. Nobody believes in superstitions and when it comes to the NFL and stuff like that. But for those my brothers out there in your tinfoil do-rags, if you have suspicions you're wearing a jersey on a particular day or you can't watch the game until right after the coin toss or something like that, and then shout out to you because that takes a lot of consistency and a lot of organization to maintain. So it is not me, but it is you. If that's your thing, then shout out to you, whatever works for you.
Yeah. As Dane mentioned, the NFL season starts today, Thursday. As you're listening to this episode, we'll talk about the NFL season coming up. But what we do have on deck is reviewing the big weekend of college football that we had. And man, first things first, bro. Usually we get upsets like more towards the beginning, probably during conference play. You might get a non-conference upset every now and then. Mm-hmm. But to get one week one right off the bat, man,
I'll
go through this list from Twitter. Top 25 teams that lost in week one. Number three, Clemson lost. Of course, that was a crazy game losing to Georgia. A lot of people expected it to be not a defensive battle.
Not a shootout.
Clemson falling to Georgia. Number 10, North Carolina losing at home or on the road at Virginia Tech in a conference game. Number 12, Wisconsin losing to Penn State. Miami getting blown out by Alabama, and we already know how Alabama is and how it's Alabama way up here at the top of the pinnacle, and then everybody else under there, at least, you know, how it looked in week one.
Right.
And then you had LSU losing, number 16, LSU losing to UCLA, number 17, Indiana getting blown out by Iowa, number 20, Washington losing to FCS Montana. I know, Dan, you rep hard for the FCS boys with Sam crew.
There were like five FCS, or I wouldn't say they were upset, too, but there are five different FCS teams, if I'm not mistaken, that beat FBS teams. So that was huge.
The way you put it was great because, you know, a lot of people see it as upsets. Like, because, you know, back in the day, those games where, you know, you schedule like a Montana, North Dakota State. But those teams, as we've seen previously, and as you know, being from Sam, like, these teams are always deep in the playoffs in the FCS Championship. Montana, North Dakota State, Sam, those guys, like, they're not pushovers anymore. They're legit contenders. So,
let me tell you, you can see it as an upset, but... As a Sam Houston Bearcats fan, let me tell you when I knew that the time was coming when the FCS talent was going to catch the FBS. I'm not even going to say that, but I knew that the FCS was going to be competitive even when they got scheduled for those essential, you know, blowout games by your Power Five programs. I remember Sam was scheduled to play A&M. I think it might have been the first game of the season. I can't remember. But we was hanging with them boys. And that was during the Johnny Manziel era. So, you know, that was hostile territory as it was, but they ended up, right. You know, A&M ended up beating us. You know, I was like 50-something to 28, but them boys were fighting. It was a dog fight out there. But to add on to your point, don't sleep on the FCS. Don't sleep on any of these HBCUs, and don't sleep on any of these teams that are in the FBS and are unranked. Because as we saw just a few days ago, anybody can get it.
Anybody, any given Saturday. and then to finish out the list, Louisiana, number 23, Louisiana lost to Texas. Texas looked pretty good in their showing, but we've seen previously where Texas looks good in a week one game and it falters down the end. No hate. This man
went out of his way to bring up how deceiving and deceitful the TU organization has been in the past. So, just let everybody know your allegiances, Deontay, while you have the mic.
Big 12 all day.
Not only that, but where your real
Baylor that is. Baylor, excuse me. Okay. Sickle.
This guy.
And then Monday night, Sunday, there was a great game on Notre Dame and Florida State. Let me say this, and this also kind of leads with UCLA beating LSU. You know, UCLA, Florida State, Nebraska's not there. They're nowhere near, but it's great to see like those historically great programs like a Florida State, like a UCLA put up good, you know, efforts in their matchups this past weekend. UCLA definitely Absolutely. With their win. Florida State competed with Notre Dame, one of the top programs. Like when those teams are great, it's great for college football in general. Especially, you know, last podcast we talked about you know, the legendary Bobby Bowden, and to see, I think a lot of his mystique was in that game on Sunday night, and you know, those guys fought to the end. Also with Mackenzie Milton, the transfer from Central Florida, Central Florida. Him coming into the game, like after all he went through at Central Florida, for those that terrified. Don't know, injury?
He shredded his knee completely. From what I remember, I think like every bone or every ligament, it was completely blown out. You know, we hear people when they're talking about sports injuries, it's about, I blew out my knee back in high school. Like, no, he really blew out his knee. If you're squeamish, if you can't hold your food, I would not recommend YouTubing that hit. Because that's a lot. But shout out to him, bro, like coming out there. Obviously, they had to make something shake because the offense was just stalling, the mistake after mistake. But
moments where the running game was, you know, they'll have an 80-yard touchdown, then get shut down like two series later. And then I can't remember the other quarterback's name, but he'll come in and throw like an 80-yard bomb and then they'll stall out. But when McKenzie was in, it was very consistent. Yes, when McKenzie
now we had a very short, small sample, very, very small sample. But the number one priority for me when he got it in, because, you know, they made it not a big deal, because that was a huge thing, that him coming in. Basically, the last time he saw some real action was the way that it ended. But him coming in there, I was like, man, I really, really, really hope everything is cool, because that line was sus all game. So,
which kind of makes you think, like they said, and I don't even have the other quarterback's name in front of me, but for Milton not to have that QB1 position off the jump kind of makes me wonder, like, were they kind of hesitant because they thought the O-line was not as, you know, competitive as we saw, like, maybe in the first half. But, like, when he got in the game, the O-line was, like, doing a good job. Like, he barely got touched. He maybe got touched two times, tops, in those two or three possessions he was in. But for the most part, they held up while he was in there. Like I mentioned, it's great to see those programs back to a competitive kind of nature. And then shout out to our previous guest, Dane. We had KJ on a few episodes ago, our guy KJ, the team doctor at team physician at UTSA. They had a big win, upset
wide receiver was at balling. Illinois. I don't remember dude's name, but dude was balling. Like the route running, he had a nice little whip route He ran like it was like 5 yard in, and he like whoop whipped that mug right. and went back to the outside. It was clean, but he's gonna be fun to watch. He's gonna be fun. Right. And they put people on notice. Don't be sleeping on UTSA. Like So
one of the top mid-major programs in Texas for sure with UTSA. Big win over Illinois at Illinois. Mm-hmm. And then our guy Craig, who we had on for an episode, our former teammate at Killeen High. He's now a GA at the University of Nevada. They had a big win at Cal. They have a quarterback, Dane. Carson Strong, I believe his name mm-hmm. is like one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in next year's class. And I watched him do like we throw out comparisons so much. Yes, but look, you're waiting for my comparison. Uh-huh. I can see it in your eyes. I'm going to say the way he throws the ball down the field. The way he throws the ball down the field. No, he reminds me, and okay, you're I'm gonna say this comparison and you're gonna be like, ew. But I'm going to explain why. When he was coming out of college and the hype that he had, the way he can kind of sling the rock, he is a Derek Carr coming out of Fresno State. Because and the reason why I say Derek Carr gunslinger. Is because, yeah, gunslinger mentality. But at the same time, he's from, like, he's coming out of Nevada and mm-hmm. Carr came out of Fresno State. So he's like going to be one of those slow risers, unless you really pay attention to college football or like the scouts and those guys that actually pay attention, you know, game by game basis of those quarterbacks. But he has that gunslinger mentality. So if you guys get the chance to check out Carson Strong, Nevada, he was a great find and great game that he played against Cal on Saturday. Any other things that kind of caught your eye, bro, watching college football, the official week one?
Yeah. I was impressed by the game has changed. We know this. The game has changed. But these guys just keep getting bigger and they keep getting faster. Like, there are some legit, like, freakish guys out there that shouldn't be moving as fast as they're moving, stuff like that. But what was I going to say? This whole time I'm trying to remember, the quarterback for Jordan Travis.
Thank you for Florida State. I couldn't remember.
I was like, the name was escaping. I was like, wait a minute. It's because he has two first names. And I just couldn't remember which order was it. It was Travis Jordan, Jordan Travis. Like, I don't know. But yeah, Jordan Travis. So he was, I ain't gonna lie, he was thinking it up. But you know, hopefully it's just growing pains and gets better. My observations from this past week in terms of college football, like, I was impressed. And I think I was more excited than usual, but I was genuinely impressed. There was a little bit of disappointment in there, especially when one of your teams that you picked to go in the top four didn't quite make the first week out. But at the same time, it's like, it's still a long season.
Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, for those of you who are keeping score, I assumed that Clemson was going to be in my top four or make the playoffs, but they ended up losing, obviously. It was very, I love defensive games, but not like that. So it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, Dane, I can admit when I'm wrong, right? Do you agree?
Depends. Where are you going with this? I have my reservations. Hold up. Proceed, brother. All right.
Last podcast, I made some predictions in our college football top four. And I also made a prediction about a Heisman candidate that I thought was going to win the Heisman. It goes by the name of Sam Howell, quarterback for UNC, North Carolina Tar Heels. I will say that on Saturday, or no, they played Thursday night. I believe they played on Thursday night. Sam Howell did nothing to back up my argument of him.
That boy's listening to the podcast. Like, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him. So don't you allow me.
Sam Howell did not have a great game. Virginia Tech was pretty much the old Virginia Tech defense back when Frank Beamer really had those guys going. Yeah. they were pretty much smothering the North Carolina offense all game long. And I saw a lot on Twitter about, you know, even on the broadcast, even the before the game was starting, it was Sam Howell, Heisman candidate. Sam Howell.
Oh, gassing that boy head up.
Man, and it was like the announcer jinx slash, you can even put that, the podcaster jinx where you're annoying a guy. And like you had mentioned, I'll go back and say it, it's still early, but it's not it off is. To a great start a for the left. Sam Howell campaign. Yeah. So.
I don't know. You know who was on my radar, obviously, watching the games. And I really didn't, I want to see everybody win. I want to see everybody shine, really. But it was hard to be like, you know what? That Bryce Young kid.
Man. He makes it look so easy, bro.
When we talk about the intangibles and then the arm talent, the dude was chill. He was, to take a word out of my boy Stewie's playbook, the boy was cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Man.
Like, he was relax, nothing get to him. Obviously, you know, he had pressure here and there a few times, but for the most part, that line was protecting him, so he didn't have any worries. But there was a few times where he staring down the barrel of the shotgun was getting popped.
Yeah.
But he's still delivering the ball, it standing in the pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looks scary. That's that dude's first game, like first game as a starter, bro.
Right.
Against the top 15, was it 15? I think they were 15th, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to say top 25 just to be safe. Versus the top 25 Miami. And we know they're not the Miami of old, but still. You got to respect the opponents that you play, especially if they're ranked. But he
– so
balling.
Can we can call – I don't think I've seen this, but we've talked about it, but we haven't necessarily given them this name. But is Alabama QBU? Like
– I mean
– got Jalen.
They could be.
They got three starters starting week one with Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, and Tua.
Who?
Mac Jones? So,
I don't know, man. Like, you'd be kind of hard pressed to
Or do we need to wait until we see how they play?
I think you got
to
give it a little bit more time. I think you might have to give it a little bit more time. Even like two or three more quarterbacks. So, like, maybe 10 or 15 years, you might be like, okay, we can see that they've consistently put out so many, you know, quarterbacks. To play quarterback at the college level is amazing. Then to consistently put out professionals is another thing. To put out starters is even a better thing. So I said all that to say this. There are a number of colleges, OU being one of them, that consistently puts out pretty decent quarterbacks. So I don't know. I'd hold the phone and I'd wait, but it's a fun discussion. It's a fun argument. Because there are so many of these programs that have a consistency or have a knack for just producing and developing talent in particular positions. So I think Bama could be there 1 year. I don't know if it's this year, but or the next year. But I think Bama could be in the talks for being QBU.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out.
It's so funny. We talked about Bryce Young, and the last time we had mentioned him on this podcast was when he struck a bunch of the NIL deals before he had even took a snap. And I was like, oh, okay, yo, you might be a real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
But I don't know. Did you see that he has a podcast now under Colin Cowherd's podcast network?
No way.
Colin Cowherd just announced it today. Yeah, the volume. Wow. His podcast, the Bryce Young podcast, and he's going to talk about, I think it's going to be weekly, you know, like the breakdowns of the games and, you know, preparation and things of that nature. So I'm definitely going to check out what he has to say. And they have, I don't know if you know, they have the Inside the Garage podcast with four Notre Dame players too. I don't know if you saw that.
I heard about that.
One is Kyle Williams, who is a dang ball hawk, the safety from Notre Dame that held those two crazy picks. He is one of the hosts of the Inside the Garage podcast. But yeah, man, I cut you off. I thought you were about to say something.
No, you good. You good. Kyle Hamilton, but I ain't gonna check you on that.
What did I say?
Kyle Williams.
Kyle Hamilton. Thank you, Kyle Hamilton.
No, you good, man? You good, man?
Ball hawk, top five pick, right?
I don't know if anybody's gonna take a safety that high. He
checking in with General Homeboy.
And my honest opinion, I got to think in terms of what the Cowboys wouldn't do, because it's not something they would do. Not to say my team is going to finish, you know, in fifth place or the fifth worst team in the league, but I always have to think really deep, pause, and understand not only one positional value, but not overrate a player just because I like him. And I loved the guy last year because of his talent. But seeing some of the experts that do this for a living say that he's their, you know, fifth overall player on their draft board is amazing. But at the same time, it's like, thinking about it historically, when's the last time we've seen a guy draft a safety, which is a position that many people or many teams undervalue or don't value, Dallas Cowboys. When's the last time we've seen a safety drafted that high in the top 10 and, you know, it pan out? Second contract and, you know, consistent and a franchise guy. Not saying I'm hating, but I'd love to see it, because the game needs a beast in your interior defensive line. You need a coverage linebacker, and you need at least two guys that are solid in your secondary. At least two, minimum two. If you go back and look at every winning team in the Super Bowl history, you'll find a solid defensive lineman, most likely an interior guy, a great linebacker, at least one coverage guy, and then three, the third thing, or one, two, three. Yeah, the third thing would be two great guys in the secondary. So I don't know. I'd hope, much like the running back position, I hope that the safety position would come back into prominence, because those guys do – they clean up a lot of the mess that, you know, he gets past a lot of the guys in the front. So we'll see. I'm not going to put my hope in him getting drafted in top five, because I just can't see the NFL, any of these guys, you know, using
that kind
their brains. Exactly. So,
yeah,
he is a talent, though. Top five talent, but – we'll see.
Speaking of which, let me get your drop in here, bro.
It's time for General Homeboy.
General Homeboy, and Dane has donned me player personnel. And so in this segment, shout out to Keith. Okay. Following up on something we had mentioned before, Dane, with, you know, in episode 44, some guys to watch for the upcoming season. You had Kyle Hamilton on that list, which you just mentioned. So you already broke him down. Another guy you had was your boy from Ohio State, Garrett Wilson.
Let's just pause right there. Just let that silence breathe.
Garrett Wilson.
No, you got it right. You got it right. I'm just like, let that silence breathe, because, okay, but my bad. Go ahead. You say the rest of the names on the list before I start getting
so
excited.
Yeah, so the guys that I had, Justin Ross and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels from Arizona State, Justin Ross from Clemson. Of course, we mentioned how Clemson, the Georgia defense is probably, they have a lot of seniors on that Georgia defense, probably the best defense we'll see in the, you know, NCAA this year, aside from maybe Bama. There's a bunch of defenses, but I think what Clemson faced on Saturday, they probably won't face all year. That being said, Justin Ross was non-existent. They could not protect DJ back there.
It ain't all his fault, though. It ain't all Ross's fault. Don't know why they look at the box score, look at the stat sheet and say, oh, man, he's horrible receiver. Like, he didn't do it. No.
Watch the tape. Quarterback didn't have any time back there.
Look at the quarterback running for his life.
Right.
It's still the first week. You know, it's still the first portion of the season. So he's got a lot of learning to do, a lot of football left. So we get to see this man develop under in our very own eyes. Which, you know what? The last time he started was versus Notre Dame, too.
Oh, yeah, in the playoffs.
Which is crazy. We were just talking about Notre Dame. The last time he started was versus, because when Trevor Lawrence he got the vid or whatever, and then he had to start and ended up losing to Notre Dame. And, oh, sorry, just the connections between your list and my list is unparalleled.
Right.
Take it away.
And then my other guy, Jaden Daniels, Arizona State, they pretty much handled Southern Utah 41-14. Kind of pedestrian numbers, but, I mean, they're going against Southern Utah. He probably didn't play much of the game. 10 for 12, 132. No touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, he's just getting his feet wet. He dipped his toes in the pool and was like, you know what? I'm good. Coach said, that's all we needed to see. So it was one of them tune-up games, unfortunately.
Yeah, man. So, Dane, you know, previously after, you know, a couple of episodes, we talked about the expansion and the conference realignment. And since our last episode, I know one, and a lot of people thought the Big 12 was dead. Right now, it's as we are speaking, things are changing very rapidly. There's reports that, you know, the Big 12 has eyed four teams to come in to their conference: Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, and Central Florida. And since we started recording today, it's been reported that Central Florida and Cincy have applied to
the national champion.
National champ. If you guys don't know about that, look it up. Central Florida claim. What was that? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yes, at least within the last 3 years.
3 years. They went undefeated that 1 year and got left out the playoff, so they claim themselves national champs. But yeah, Central Florida, Cincinnati have applied for Big 12 membership. Houston is expected too soon, and BYU as well. Kind of first thoughts about that, Dane, about the, you know, the four conference members potentially being added.
So I, for one, I was excited in terms of U of H getting back to where it used to be. If you're a young cat or you just, you know, I don't know, just, you know, didn't get into sports recently, U of H used to have some ballers. Like U of H was, they were doing the damn thing back in the day. So to see them, to see my Cougar fans, to come back into the limelight, it'd be kind of huge. But for the state of Texas, at least for me, it's a pretty good thing. And finally, people putting respect back on their name, because there's a lot of talent out of these institutions here in the state of Texas. But most importantly, Houston does a really good job of recruiting. You'll see that if you haven't seen that already. I mean, there's been tons of players drafted out of U of H in the past few years. So to see them get to come back, or get to go back into prominence, is a pretty cool thing, even if it, you know, doesn't happen. It's just the idea of them being super, super, super relevant again. So what about you? What were your first thoughts?
Man, my first thoughts, I know we had mentioned like the alliance, our last episode with the Pac-12, Big 10, ACC. The thing, I'm a Baylor grad. And so the first thing I'm thinking of is how we could potentially not be in a well, personally, I was scared that, you know, Baylor was going to get left out as far as not being in a Power Five conference. And, you know, at least for the time being, with this agreement with these schools coming in, you know, it's not going to be up there with the SEC, the Big Ten, you know what I'm saying? But we're still above those group of five.
Still a reputable conference down there. Don't get it twisted. It's still a reputable conference. So all you casuals out there, you know, dissing anybody that isn't in a SEC or anything like that, and you need to check yourself, because the South got something to say.
South got something to say. I still expect a lot of more, you know, movement as far as, you know, the musical chairs of conference realignment and stuff. And, you know, we still got Texas and Oklahoma still in the Big 12. So now the question is, with these four schools coming in, when and how would this affect when Oklahoma and Texas eventually go to the SEC? So that's some, you know, things to keep an eye on. Definitely happy that the Big 12 seems to have survived again another round of realignment, where it seemed like they were going to get the deuces. Deuces. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you're listening on Thursday, which means tonight is Cowboys versus Bucks. Dane's ripping the, you know, the CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, essentially, it is a Dez jersey. It's an 88. Yeah. Dez, you always have a special place in my heart. It's 88. Oh, 88 for life.
Dan, you know what we should tell the listeners? You know, what's Broncos that? Play the Cowboys this year, November 7th.
No, wrong. The Cowboys play the Broncos.
Okay, anyway, the Broncos and the Cowboys are going to play in Dallas. Dane and I are going. It'll be Dane's first game in the new state. Is it your first Cowboy game in person?
This is my first professional game, period.
First? Wow.
I've been in that stadium four different times, all for high school championship games. I've never been for, like, a professional game. This will be my first.
So
I've never been.
Clap it up for Dane.
Look, So if you wanna, if you really wanna thank somebody or put the blame on somebody, you could thank Egghead number one here, Deontay, and Egghead number two, my little brother JB3, because they're the ones that peer pressure me into.
Like
into
we had to do it, bro. Broncos, Cowboys, we gotta. Look, don't we have a bet?
I can watch the Denver Broncos get their asses kicked on TV from the comfort of my own home, less than 20 miles away from the stadium.
Y'all heard that, right? So. We got bragging rights on the line. Yeah,
we got more than bragging rights on the line, brother. Yeah.
I don't even remember what we bet. What did we bet?
A jersey. We bet it. We bet one of these. In fact, your boy is so confident, I have two bets on the line. One with this guy here, the other one my little brother.
Who's a Broncos fan?
Who is also a hopeless Broncos fan. But he lost the bet last year. The bet that we had last year was which receiver would do better, CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. And of course, CeeDee Lamb had the better year, even though he is playing with, you know, four different quarterbacks. Anyway, the bet this year that I have my brother is that who's going to be better, you know, who's going to finish in the, I believe either who's going to be better or who's going to finish higher in the defensive rookie race. Would it be one, Micah Parsons, or
Patrick Surtain.
Okay. So, and here's the thing. I absolutely love Patrick Surtain. Like, that's why I wanted the Cowboys to pick. And I absolutely love Jerry Jeudy.
You sent a hate text to me right when we drafted Surtain.
Yeah, I was pissed. Because, like, we got to trot out freaking Anthony Brown out there to try to defend Mike Evans. Like, come on,
poor,
bro. Like,
poor Anthony Brown, man.
Yeah, bro. I love Patrick Surtain. Like, his tape was awesome. He has obviously NFL bloodlines, and he was just a certified dog. So,
yeah.
You know, y'all got a good one, man. Hopefully, whenever his rookie deals up, y'all drop the ball on that. He can come fly his way over to Dallas, sign that contract in Frisco.
Future Champ Bailey, bro. He gonna hold it down with the franchise for a minute. What I was gonna mention, Dane and I are gonna have to do something really cool for the pod. Maybe go on Instagram Live on the Duo SNS podcast. Something cool, man. We gotta think of something cool to do for the people that listen and tune in.
Sure.
But yeah, season preview. Last time we did division winners and playoff teams. Let's just do playoff teams, bro. In your AFC, NFC, and then we'll just go Super Bowl.
That's tough. Okay.
You know, I kind of threw that on you.
Yeah, you did, but it's all good. We're professionals. This is what we do. Okay. So, we got one extra playoff spot, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Seven.
So seven spots.
Look, while you looking, I'm pulling up the standings.
Oh, no, I'm thinking off the top of my head. Like, I'm not even going to use the interwebs. I'm just going to go straight off the top of the dome. Pause.
My man.
Okay.
You don't have to give me a record. You can just say who your playoff teams are.
For sure. In no particular order, AFC, my top seven, who will make the playoffs. Going with the Kansas City Chiefs. I got the Cleveland Browns, the Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, the Chargers.
You need an AFC South team.
I need an AFC South team.
Titans, Colts, Jags.
And here's the thing. The Titans and the Colts, they have an amazing defense. You know what? Colts and Titans. Bam. So, okay, I got both of those guys. Colts, Titans. Okay.
That's seven right there on the AFC.
Yeah, my seven.
You got your AFC.
So, NFC, I'm going to go with, obviously, the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm going to go. this one's tougher than the AFC. I'm going to go with the Seahawks as number two. Number three, let me throw the Cards in there.
So, you got three teams out of the NFC West. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you.
I was like, wait a minute. South, I was like, when did they realign? Yeah.
My bad.
You good. Let's go with, I'm trying to avoid the NFC East into the last one. So I'm trying to.
NFC North.
Let's go with the Packers. The.
Three more teams to pick.
Let's go with the Vikings. And that leaves me two spots. So let's go.
And you still need to pick an NFC East.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one for last. No, not the Falcons. That's no God, no. That's not happening.
The Niners?
Nah, that's too many.
Rams.
Let's go with Panthers. I'm gonna get the Panthers coming out of their pause. And my last spot. I'm going with the Jinx. Let's have a repeat. Let's go repeating division champion with the Washington football team, which has not happened since 2004. Make it. Oh no no no! This is not the game we're playing here.
The game here
is to state the unobvious answer. That way, the obvious possibly happens. See, my brothers
that have y'all hear Dane's logic.
See, my brothers out there with the tinfoil do rags, they understand where I'm coming from. Because if I see the Cowboys going to make it, the Cowboys are not going to make it. So I'm going to go with the consecutive division or NFC East division champs.
The Washington,
we haven't had a repeat champion since like 2004.
In 8 years.
It's just and people say, oh, it's just a very competitive division. Like, no, it's not. This is probably one of the worst divisions in football. Please, Cowboy fans, Washington football fans, Giants fans,
9 wins, you're good.
Yeah, like stop it. Stop with the delusions. We are not a competitive division. It just so happens that we suck so bad equally that no one's been able to muster up the strength to do it 2 years in a row. So sorry. To burst your bubble, but that's just the way it is. That's what I'm gonna go with. What about you, Deontay? What you got for me, man? Go ahead, hit me with
all
the
right.
facts.
I got the cheat sheet. I just got the teams in front of me, so I won't forget. AFC.
No,
I'm gonna take.
No, no. You run a sports podcast, man.
Just for time purposes.
Deontay, you should be ashamed.
just for time purposes. Okay. I got Buffalo.
Okay, there's one.
Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Baltimore.
Copycat.
Tennessee.
Copycat.
Chiefs. Chargers. Copycat. Broncos.
All right. So one of those things does not belong, but we'll talk about that later. All right.
Broncos NFC. Belong. NFC. We're going to go Cowboys.
This mother.
Packers. Bucks. Rams.
Oh, I can't.
Seahawks.
Can you do that? I can do this, but I can't do I can't make this finger stay like that and this. Yeah. And I'm not trying to flick nobody off. I'm just counting. All right.
And then I need how many more? Two?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
I said Rams, Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I said Bucks.
Mm-hmm. I said Cowboys.
I said Cowboys. And I said Packers. So that's five.
Mm-hmm. That's five. So two more.
Give me.
Pause.
The Niners.
Okay.
And the Vikings.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So I'm going to have to come back and listen to the pod so I can write it down later.
I got you.
But
we'll let the listeners hold us accountable. Chalking up these L's. Let's revisit this. What is it? Week 9 or 8? Right?
Halfway through.
Partially halfway through since we have. Well, yeah. No, there's 18 weeks because
week 10 or something.
By. Okay. Bet.
And then Super Bowl. I'm going to go Chiefs.
Okay.
I'm not going Bucks. Going Chiefs-Rams, bro.
Ew.
Chiefs-Rams.
Trusted Matt Stafford then, huh? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah. We're going with Stafford with a defense over there. Chiefs-Rams, and I'm going to give it to the Rams.
Okay. Pause. I'm going to go what I wanted to happen last year. I wanted the Packers and the Chiefs. I'm going to go with that this year. Packers and Chiefs.
Aaron Rodgers' last hurrah, Super Bowl.
The last dance. Packers? The last dance.
You mentioned that on a previous podcast, too.
I did.
But there you have it. Dane has Chiefs Packers. I have Chiefs Rams. So we'll see how we do. Now it's time for.
This guy.
Nerd News segment sponsored by our guy.
Keith.
Thank you, Keith. Shout out to Keith. This is going to be a spoiler-free quick thoughts because Dane has not watched Shang-Chi yet. I have watched Shang-Chi. And
it's on the list of things to do, man.
Yeah, first of all, before I talk a little bit about the movie,
let me ask you a question. Before you get started, where would you rank this in terms of it being an origin story? Like, I mean, obviously putting you on the spot here, but if you had to honestly say, like, my list of top three origin stories or my list of top fives,
it's top three.
Okay, good deal.
It's top three. And I will say it's top three before I get to that. It was a lot riding on this movie. I think one of the Marvel executives has said it's an experiment because of what they're basing it off of as far as numbers, because this is like the first big MCU movie since the pandemic that's not going to a streaming platform. Like, you know, like with Black Widow, we had a choice of a theater or on Disney Plus. Well, this is the first movie that came out exclusively in theater. So a lot was riding on the numbers based on if other projects were going to get pushed back. And Shang-Chi broke a lot of records as far as Labor Day weekend numbers. One of the top movies that, you know, since the pandemic has, you know, been affecting movie theaters. So it's done really well and rightfully so, because Dane, I think it's a top three MCU origin story.
Okay.
And I won't get into spoilers or not, but man, just how the MCU continues. And I think I mentioned this before, how the MCU continues to bring in characters that we don't know much about unless you are a diehard comic book fan that knows about these characters since, you know, been born. Basically a nerd. Sorry. This is our nerd segment. So we're nerds too. But if you haven't been like in comic books since forever, then you can, you're not really familiar with a Shang-Chi or the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, these characters that we don't really or aren't really familiar with. And bringing in a character like Shang-Chi, new environments. I will say this, and I'm not really, Dane, an anime kind of guy, and I feel like the way they brought in like the fantasy is a spectacular fantasy movie as far as the elements, and I'm trying to be spoiler free here, the elements and stuff that they
I appreciate your consideration.
Yes. The elements and stuff that they added into it, and people that have seen the movie can kind of, you know, back me up on this. But overall, bro, it's top three. I put it behind, as far as origin story, I put it behind Black Panther because because Black Panther is Black Panther, I'm being biased as far as how much we love Chadwick and what it was to see us being, you know, black people and seeing a black guy on screen as a superhero. I mean, we've seen Blade before, but we were little, you know, when Blade came out. So to see it as an adult, to see, you know, the impact that it had on the culture, I feel like Black Panther will always be one for me. But Shang-Chi is like right there, right behind Black Panther to me. And then overall, the performances from all the characters were great. It was a lot of great surprises in the movie that, you know, the trailer tries to mislead you on. But overall, man, I have great, great thoughts on Shang-Chi. I'll probably give it an 8 out of 10. I'm sure Dane will probably get to watch it at some point, probably before the next episode. But I think you would really enjoy it, Dan.
I know I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's like, and we already knew it was like the MCU, like Bruce Lee. And it's exactly that. It's exactly the fight scenes, incredible. The hand-to-hand combat, incredible. Like the scene that you see in the trailer on the bus, that's just partial of what the entire scene was.
And I won't say, that's only part of the ass kicking.
Yeah,
it's not the full ass kicking. Just a crumb.
Yeah. Yeah, man, but yeah, definitely check out Shang-Chi if you haven't already. And definitely the post-credit scenes, as always, make sure you stay for the post-credit scenes.
How many?
There's one always or two post-credit scenes, one mid-credit, one right after. They're both important. They're both for the future, so I'll just leave it at that. But overall, Shang-Chi was great and amazing. I rated my second favorite MCU origin story behind Black Panther.
Okay, yeah. I can get down with
Black Panther. Panther counts as an origin story, even though we had saw him in Civil War, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. But that are my thoughts on that. Dane will check it out soon, and I'm definitely going to ask him on next episode.
I will give you all my thoughts whenever I watch this movie.
All the thoughts. But did you happen to catch What If, the new episode, episode 5?
I also did not watch that. So I do have my plan. I did watch it.
I watched it. So we have no content. What you think, bro?
No, I watched it. Man, I had no idea how they were going to do it. I know that I'm not familiar with the zombie thing. Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. Hella spoiler. I'm not at all familiar about the comic book runs that they've had with the feature or the plot device of zombies. So I didn't know how they were going to do it, how these were going to come about. And it's impressive to me, just the plot armor in some of this stuff. Like, so many people, obviously, spoil it, so many people died that I just did not anticipate. Well, I can't say dying, because I don't know if they're actually dead, but some people, they got bit and turned into zombies. Like, I had no idea. I was like, there's no way they're going to make that happen. And then, lo and behold, the biggest disappointment to me of that episode was Vision.
Yeah.
You waste of vibranium.
Yeah, Vision was on some relationship type... For my girl,
he was on some psycho stuff. Like, he was out of line, way out of pocket. They should have turned his ass into a Sprite can or something, because he was doing the most.
Right. I think for sure it reminded me of, well, you know, we've seen a lot of zombie shows and movies. One thing that comes to mind was The Walking Dead for me. There's a bunch of zombie movies I can think of, but I guess it's because these guys are superheroes, obviously, but these were some strong ass zombies, bro. Like,
straight up,
it was like
they smart but dumb. Because how the hell you know how to operate that wingsuit, Falcon zombie? Like, how the hell does that work? Like, come on, bro. Like, are y'all stupid or y'all smart? Like, what is the
right? Because, you know, when. Technically, from what we've seen from previous zombie stuff, like, their brain is like shut down, right? It's just like they're literally dead.
It's smooth over.
Right. Right. So it's like the living dead. So like you had mentioned, like Falcon flying, Cap using the shield, Iron Man blasting, like Wanda. So those kind of elements, I guess it's just like an MCU thing. And I don't know if it goes back to how it was in the comics for the zombie run. And then another thing that I thought about, you know, with a lot of the episodes, like when we're watching this series, we always are brought back to the question is, how is it connected, or if it connects? And with this particular episode, I don't know how or if it will. And like, we still don't have a lot of answers for this episode and other episodes where they will connect to the bigger MCU. I think it's just another one of those snapshots of own reality pocket of, you know, a timeline or a scenario where it went bad.
So one of the things that I caught on to, or hopefully I'm not making this up in my head, when they first pulled up to New York in that little bus or whatever it was, was that the same spot from I Am Legend where he had got hung up by the little zombie undead dude?
I know what you're talking about.
Like when they first pulled up, I took a picture of it when I was watching it, obviously, but I want to say that might have been the same spot that they had visited during I Am Legend. I thought that was cool because, of course, I Am Legend has, I don't think they were called zombies in I Am Legend. They're like called undeads or something like that. But essentially, you get bit by, or most people, when they got bit by those things, they turned into that thing, except for people who had a particular gene. Something biologically going on with their body that prevented them from turning like anybody else. So that was kind of cool. If that is the case, I'm not sure if it is. I'd have to revisit it. If anybody else knows what I'm talking about, or I'm just blabbering at this point, I apologize. But
yeah.
The whole Scott thing, the Scott Lang thing, that's kind of weird, creeping me out. Like, I was kind of like, there's no place for this, but at the same time, this is so Paul Rudd. Like,
right.
I can imagine him, like, in the writer's room, like, guys, you know what would be really awesome? If I was just a head.
And just then ahead. At like
what and then
at the end
about?
You can at the end you can give me a cape.
Yeah. And I can be a head with a cape.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. So
you know what's funny for back to back episodes, or excuse me. Well, episodes 3 and 5 deal with mm-hmm. the Ant-Man family. You know, 3 was Janet Van Dyne and or Hope Van Dyne affecting mm-hmm. that timeline. This one as well with Janet, you know, when Hank Pym went to go get Janet in Ant-Man 2, how that affected it. Yeah, man, it's I mean, I enjoyed the episode. And like we always say, it's mm-hmm. interesting to see a different pocket, a different reality universe of what, you know, what could have been. And so I'm still waiting for that tie-in of how, because I don't think Marvel would just throw this series in there without a connection to what we already seeing in the MCU. I'm waiting for that connective tissue. I think we got a little bit of it last episode with Doctor Strange and maybe a connection to Spider-Man No Way Home, but I'll wait to see on that. But,
okay. Well, yeah. The jury is still out on that one. I myself being the conspirator that I am, or conspiracy nut that I am in terms of the MCU, I think it's all this stuff we're going to see on a live action someplace, some shape, or at least one of these timelines we're going to see connected to the live action world. There's no way that you put in all this work for it to just to be like, all right, it's canon, but it's not canon. So enjoy. So I think one of these timelines is going to be fleshed out, hopefully. But yeah, so.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get another episode where it connects to one of the previous episodes, or no? You think we're
going
to get?
I think we are, because I'm going off of trailer footage, and we know how the MCU feels about trailer footage. But there is a clip where T'Challa, Star-Lord T'Challa, Gamora, Captain Carter are all in New York. That same shot that we see from the first Avengers where they're all doing a little spinny first when they do their first little meetup. That
Hero
shot
lineup.
Is right. There's that shot is in the trailer. So I think we're going to get a team up at some point, because I think it's going to go back to the timeline where there's no Avengers, where the Avengers died. Mm-hmm. And Nick Fury is going to go get the Guardians of the Multiverse. You know, the Star-Lord. I think that's our connective tissue as far as the series goes. But I don't know how that's going to connect to the bigger MCU.
Muy interesante. I don't know. I don't know. But I guess only time will tell, right?
Yeah. We shall see. We shall see. But as we close on episode 60 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, we like to give our respects to the great Michael K. Williams, who passed away this week. If you watch The Wire, this guy's performance, and he was in a lot of other great, great shows where his character took over the screen.
Yeah.
Michael K. Williams, he was Omar in The Wire, if you didn't know. And Dan, you put Omar me on The Wire. Iconic performance and iconic, even the man. And like I hate this. There's always times after, you know, great people pass that we kind of look back and like, dang, man, this guy was really great from top to great from top to bottom. And you know, a lot of clips came out of, you know, how he, like him speaking in interviews and stuff like that. And
the Wendell Pierce stuff.
The Wendell Pierce one. And then I saw another one. I guess it was like a little, I don't know if it was a commercial or like a little spot of him playing, like it's him a couple times, basically him saying he got out of, like if he didn't get out of New Jersey, he'd be, you know, dead or in jail, you know, and him basically saying to himself, yes, I made it. And then the other him said, are you sure? And from what the reports are saying, how he passed, and I'm not going to mention it here, but it's kind of tough to see that kind of video and things like that. So just rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. Dane, any thoughts on what he brought to the screen?
Right, we appreciate the talents that you shared with us. You're an extraordinary, beautiful human being, and never got the opportunity to meet you or anything like that. But from what your colleagues and even relatives say about you, was pretty impactful. Appreciate the work that you left behind, and man, like, rest easy, G. Rest easy, man.
Couldn't say it better. Go back and watch The Wire, y'all. I've seen a lot of people talk about they never watched The Wire. Mm-hmm. They thought it was boring. Man, watch The Wire.
One of the greatest first two or three episodes, you'll be fine. Not to say that those episodes are boring, but it just they drop you like right in the middle of what's going on, which is impressive in its own right. But it's an HBO flick, like an HBO show, so you can trust it. It's high quality.
Yeah.
But he also was in Lovecraft Country.
Chalky White.
And he was in, was it Boardwalk? Is it Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, Empire, yep. Yeah, I never watched it, but he was in that too.
So yeah, I need to get on that. So
yeah.
Very, very iconic. One of the most iconic characters that we've seen, period. The character he's portrayed. So his art obviously will inspire plenty of people and, just... It sucks, man, but same time, it's all part of life, man, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, man. Rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. Yeah, go check out The Wire. Dan, you remember when you sent me The Wire?
Yeah, all look, this DVDs how old, back we're about day? To age ourselves real quick. So back, I watched The Wire, obviously. I forgot. I got season one and season two for Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. But this is when I first got on it. Shout out to Uncle Brian. He put me on The Wire when I was maybe in high school, but I was like, I can't get into this. And then I finally picked it back up my freshman year of college. And I was like, man, I got to own all of these DVDs now. I bought the box and I still got it. And I was like, man, Deontay, you gotta watch this show.
Yeah.
So this is how old we are.
I do not regret it.
Right. I sent the DVDs because it was all five seasons. I sent all five, the entire box set. I sent it to this dude in the mail, bro. Like, that's how crazy it is. Like now it'd be synonymous to me. Like, hey man, here's my login information. Go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But back in our day, Netflix wasn't streaming. Okay. It was straight DVDs. Like you went online, you selected how many DVDs you wanted and they sent you the DVDs. Like that's how it worked. And then of course the streaming came along
before Redbox too. Yep.
Bruh. Mm-hmm. Man. Shout out to Blockbuster one time. But yeah, man, that's how old we are, bro. Old and washed.
Yeah, man. Old and washed. Yeah, shout out to Michael K. Williams, man. Episode 60 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. If you are still here listening to us as well on YouTube as well, don't forget to subscribe. Also on Apple, give us those 5 stars and a great rating. And you can catch out us on episode 61 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Yeah.